Star 99.9, hey, it's Megan Stone. My favorite comedian is Eliza Schlesinger, and she's coming November 24th to the College Street Music Hall. Tickets are starting at $25. And also, she's out with a new book called Girl Logic. Eliza, what's up?
Yeah.
I was introduced to your comedy in, 2014, and I was in a really bad place where I couldn't laugh at anything, and it was your brand of humor that actually made me laugh for the first time in a long time. What made you want to make people laugh for a living?
I get asked this question a lot, and I always wish I had a more whimsical answer. I made a joke and the class laughed and that's when I knew. I was just always funny. I think from a young age, sometimes you have a thing that defines you, and it was just always something I wanted to do. That was how I got attention, made friends. I love making the teachers laugh. So it's just from the get-go, I was like, this is what I'm here to do. I've always known it, I guess.
Yeah. So you mentioned you answer this question a lot. So if I ask you a question that you are just sick and tired of answering, give me one sentence, we'll move on. We have plenty to talk about.
Great. All right, cool.
So you have the new book coming out, Girl Logic, which I love because it's a play on the girl brain. That's what I really like about your humor, is that it's real, because you help women like me learn that we're not crazy. It seems like Girl Logic is almost like a little manual of sorts written by you, the Lorax of our generation. She is the Lorax of millennials.
I am the loyal Lorax. Emmanuel, I like that. I might have to steal that. Yeah, I feel like being a woman is already, you're so confused and you're so conflicted and there's so much input from other people and, you sometimes feel like you can't trust yourself. And one of the great parts about being a woman is that all women share a heart. We all go through certain things that are similar in our experience. We've all been harassed. We all have a period. We all, share this heart, and I wanted to expound on that idea, and I got so tired of women always being called crazy and psycho for things that are not insane. What's insane is the amount of expectation placed on women all the time, often for conflicting things, and we're expected to be perfect. And I wanted to just write a book diving into that and explaining why we have to think the way that we do. We have to take into account so many things because so many things are put upon us. So the book is about that. It's really a love letter to women, and for guys, it's a funny, insightful look at the way women sort of feel and how we think. And I think any guy would pay millions to get a look inside the female brain and understand us better.
Have you ever been told by an agent that you should make your humor more inclusive because you do talk about women's humor? Were they worried that your humor would alienate 50% of your potential audience, or did they just go, Eliza, just you do you, girl?
No, they get 10% of whatever, so as long as they get that, they're happy. No, there is no conversation like that. And to be honest, a majority of my fans are still men. I think that you can talk about things that affect women without negating men. You can be a feminist without saying I hate men, which I certainly don't. I started my career with mostly men, and I talk about things that guys like, and funny is funny. One aspect of the comedy is reaching out to women, but I think smart men still find it funny and they find it insightful and still relatable. I think relatability is the key, and I think my comedy does that pretty well. So it's never even crossed my mind that I'm alienating men, because the smart men stick around.
That is true. It's like when you talked about how, when a woman needs to adjust her lip liner, you equate it to when you got to adjust yourself. And I think every single woman that I've shown this to, they all clapped and they're like, she gets it.
Yeah, I think, it's important to get it. I think a lot of women get it. But we have this nasty thing in womanhood where we don't share with other women that we are struggling too, and that we get what you're going through. It's almost like there's so many surprises in being a girl, and you're like, why didn't anyone tell me about this? It's like, because women aren't encouraged to talk about things, and we're getting to a place in our world where we are, but everything from planning a wedding is hard, to you poop yourself in childbirth, to, what happens during your period, to sexual harassment, to the way we're supposed to act during sports as women, There's all these hidden, unspoken rules. And the more women share with each other, the easier this gets.
Yeah. And I think that's why when people first find out about your humor, it's refreshing. It's a breath of fresh air. And also your routines, they cover heavy topics like voter suppression. You talk about body image and sexual assault. But the jokes, it's like there's a certain line that you can't cross, and you make your jokes tasteful. So how do you find that balance to get the point across and not be offensive by it? Like, you mock it when women are called mentally strong because, hey, you can't really weaponize it when a rapist comes at you.
Right, totally. You know, I think it's about poking fun at, I think it's about coming from a place of being genuinely informed. I could never talk about what it's like to be a Black woman or why it's tough for guys. I'm not those things. I can only speak from my perspective, you know, and I hammer that point home over and over. So all you can do is speak with authority from your perspective and come from a place of kindness and love. I know that sounds so like hippity-dippity, but my objective is always to stand up for what's right. It's never to make somebody else feel bad. It's never to, I think a big difference between me and some other people or women is that I don't want to get up there and male bash. And I know men can feel that. People can feel when you're coming at them with a genuine funny opinion versus just a hot take and a lot of anger. And don't get me wrong, I got a lot of anger, but I think it's that. I think it's speaking with authority, you know, and I've also put in the work, not just from being a human on this planet, but in stand-up. I've been on the road for 10 years, so these observations and jokes are tried and true and backed up with life experience.
That is true. And you brought up about standing up for what you believe is right. And you know this question was going to be coming. Like, some people seem genuinely surprised that you changed your publisher from the Weinstein Company to Hatchet. But if they watched any of your comedy, like Confirmed Kills, especially towards the later half, it would have been more surprising if you didn't switch, right?
Well, it's interesting. There was no switching. Weinstein was dissolved and Hachette absorbed it. So that was that. But moreover, even if that hadn't happened, I issued a statement about the Weinstein Company because I wanted to get out front of it, because there are people that are dumb enough that would think I could pull a book. My book was already printed. So there were women that pulled their projects and books, but my book was printed, sitting in a printer, like ready to go. So I couldn't pull it, even if Weinstein Company stayed. I could choose not to work with them, but like contracts and things, like those things are bigger than me. What I could do would issue a statement about how I felt and make it very clear that this book was written by me, produced by two women who obviously had no idea what was going on. So if I didn't stand up for this book and if I wasn't proud of this book, regardless of what was happening, then it was an example of this pervert doing something horrible and me as a woman paying the price for it. So if anything, I felt it more important to dig my heels in and be like, I'm proud of this book. And I did know, I found out the next day. I mean, it got absorbed the next day, and that's, you know, makes the most sense. So, and it's actually interesting. My book is the last book to have the Weinstein insignia on the spine. We're already printing the second round and it says Hachette on it now, so he's basically gone with the wind. But I kind of liken it to, like, your grandpa comes home from World War II and maybe some people have like Nazi plateware in their house. There's only a few of those left.
That is
and
true.
Mine's one of them. So I got it.
Yeah, and you bring up a point about, like, you called him a pervert, and it's like, we've known this for a year, but it's like we're finally learning that what we suspected, that female celebrities deal with a lot more BS than male celebrities, and that's probably the same for female comedians too, is it not?
I mean, it's definitely, if anything, grittier. I mean, I would never take away from what these women went through, and I haven't gone through that, you know, to that extent, but stand-up comedy, it's like this wild west where it's like, hopefully the people you're working with have morals and not a huge chemical imbalance and they were taught right from wrong, but you never know. And comedy's kind of a gritty thing. It's done at night. It's kind of in the darkness. It's in clubs. It's, you know, so I think it's bringing to light things like this. I hope women that have experienced things like this in stand-up feel supported in coming forward, but I've never, in my experience, it's always, oh, he's a good guy. Oh, but he's nice. Oh, he's not like that, you know. And so hopefully this gives people, I guess, the strength to stand up for that. But I'm sure music is just as horrible. I hear stories like that all the time. It's actually not industry specific. If you worked in the oil industry, or if you worked in another, in the South, in, I don't know, trucking business or on Wall Street, like, this stuff happens everywhere, every business. This story, like, this aspect, this avenue of Hollywood just happened to get some light shed on it. But this is a rampant problem. Everywhere.
Exactly. So I know we're talking about really heavy stuff, so let's fail the Bechdel test, shall we?
Sure.
Okay. So in your book, you speak about the five modern male archetypes and how to text them. And I know I'm dealing with one of them now. Amazon snail mailed the book, so it's probably sitting at my door as we speak. And and I'm dealing with one of these guys. So it drives the girl brain crazy because you overthink, like, why didn't he text me 4 days
yeah.
and for 4 days? And suddenly out of the blue, they're like, hey, what's up? Like, what are these five male archetypes and how did you survive each one?
Oh my God. I don't have the book in front of me. I don't know. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
You have to read them. But basically, you know, humans, we can be selfish. It's the golden rule is, girls, if a guy likes you, he will move mountains to be with you. When a guy likes you, there is no, oh, I was busy at work. Oh, I was so tired this weekend. Like, tired. All I do is check my phone, like, while I'm in the shower. There are no excuses. So if you find yourself hearing these from a guy, it just means he doesn't think you're that hot. Let's move on.
Oh, so I was right to not shave my big toe for tonight's date, then.
Shouldn't have tried. If it was, like, pulling teeth to get this date, then you should have left your big toe hair intact.
I did, but I am wearing Blousy Cow, which has arms like a Chinese finger trap.
You got all these references. That's crazy.
It's like I said, you are my favorite comedian, and it's like a friend of mine who introduced me to your comedy. We went to, on vacation, Thunder Bay, Ontario, which is, it's cute, but everything closes after 6 o'clock. So basically every single night we would put on Netflix and we would watch one of your comedy specials and just like do the call out, like, you know, symbiotic relationship with another mammal, or you look like you choked on a dick and cried and stuff like that.
Oh my God, so funny. Well, it's even more fun if you drink every time you hear a phrase you like. People like to make drinking games out of my special.
I don't think Jesus is ready to see me this early in my life.
Like, no, spare him. Spare him that.
And I know we're coming down to the end of the interview, so congratulations on being engaged. I saw like the story on Snapchat and Instagram. It was like I was clapping and jumping up and down. I was so pleased for you.
Thank you.
You call your fiance Smokey Husky, and for the life of me, I don't know how he got this name. How did Smokey Husky become Smokey Husky?
Smokey Husky? he's a chef, and sometimes he's around, like, pit smoke, like, for barbecuing animals. And so he would come, when we first started dating, he would come over, and he always smelled like pit smoke. And he, in conjunction with that, he has really light blue eyes, like White Walker blue eyes. And he looks like a husky, like an Alaskan Malamute. Husky dogs have those, like, really light blue eyes, so I started calling him Smokey Husky, and that's his name now.
I love it. And you mentioned the White Walker. I saw on Instagram that you were in HBO. Were you in talks to have a cameo like Ed Sheeran?
No. Oh. You know what? Yes. We'll tell everyone yes. I am to be a guest White Walker, the White Walker Queen, and we'll let the people run with that.
With her fearsome adopted dog Blanche by her side.
Oh my God, Blanche is a White Walker. It would be sad because she'd be dead, but she'd be so beautiful.
So majestic, so special.
Very special.
Elijah Schlesinger, the youngest and sole woman to win NBC's Last Comic Standing in 2008. Three Netflix specials that you can watch now. He has the late show Truth and Eliza on Freeform, which you can watch. And also, she is the star of Forever 31 on Hulu and ABC. Out with the new book, Girl Logic. Buy it. You can get it on Amazon or your local bookstore. And see this amazing, one-of-a-kind comedian at College Street Music Hall in New Haven, Friday, November 24th. A special Black Friday show. Tickets are starting at $25. And Eliza, it was wonderful talking to you, and I can't wait to see you. And give Blanche a hug and a kiss for me.
I'm going to kiss her right now. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you so much. This was so much fun, Eliza.
Thanks for such a great interview. I appreciate it.
Thank you.